Let the Motor Mouths help you with all of your car questions at 516-572-7440.
We're back! Back with a vengeance right here at Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer. We're going to the phones. We're going to see who's on the line. Say hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, it's Lou. What are you guys doing?
Hey, Lou, how are you? Lou Santiago, what's doing?
Let me give you the send.
Nothing, man. I'm just lollygagging.
Let me tell the listeners. He may not be as pretty as Chip Foose or have the follicular proclivity of Aaron Kaufman.
You're spitting on the mic.
I know. But what he lacks in those areas is made up in spades by his old school New York attitude. I give you Diamond Lou Santiago, ladies and gentlemen.
Now I got diamonds. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I figured we'd give you a little bit of a bling there, huh?
Well, it's funny, Lou. You're very special in our hearts because you're coming from the Bronx and all. Ray is originally, she started out in Queens, and I'm still residing in the borough of Brooklyn.
Well, we started out in the Bronx, and then we moved out to Hempstead.
Hempstead!
Yeah, you're right around the block from us.
You know, Lou...
Dale Avenue, man. Dale Avenue.
If I stepped outside the studio with, like, a broken connecting rod, I could hit Hempstead from here.
Yeah, you could.
Yes. Yeah, man. So, it's beautiful.
Yeah, man. We used to race on Oak Street.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, totally.
Now they put stop signs in, though. I know. Yeah. I've done a few high speed runs down Oak myself.
One or two, not a lot.
Yeah, just one or two.
How did you make that sweeping turn on Oak Street? How'd you clear that?
Well, you got to remember, man. Back then, the only thing that ran up and down Oak Street was mail trucks
and buses.
Yeah, and buses. That's right, buses. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there was nothing there.
Right.
Wow.
But now I got a good story for you.
Okay.
You know when you're going down Fountain Avenue, right? You made a right, you went down down a street, and then you got the fountain where all the garbage trucks ran. Remember that?
Yes.
Well, that street was flatlands.
Okay.
And the weekend before I went in the Navy, I went with my friend Wayne. Wayne's like a brother to me. He's the Mopar guy.
Okay.
So we're in his 68 Dart with a 383 and a 4-speed.
Nice.
And we come up to the light, and I got a set of tin snips. So I jump out of the car. I shimmy up the light post, stand on the do not walk sign, you know, the yellow sign, the blinking signs, cut the Flatlands Avenue sign off the pole, jump off the light, get back in the car before it goes green.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's a good grip.
I got that sign in my backyard today.
Yeah, I believe it.
On a pole.
So, yeah, of course. Lou, how is it? I mean, we're going to get to your TV stuff and all the other cool stuff, too, but I got to know, what's it like living amongst non-New Yorkers? Because, like, we're talking about retirement. I'm saying, I don't know if I could live with these people.
Man, I'm going to tell you something. My first duty station was Coronado, California, mm-hmm. in 1981.
Right. Okay.
Okay? And I realized that there's a lot of nice people in the world, and that's when I realized I didn't need to go back to New York.
Okay.
Very true.
I mean, seriously, that was the whole thing. Have you ever seen the movie My Blue Heaven with Steve Martin?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, like when he's in the supermarket and people are going, hey, how's it going? And he's like, hey! That's what I was like. And then I realized, wow, there's actually nice people in the world.
I just like the line from the frozen aisle. It was like, hey, you know, you could melt all this stuff. And she's like, it's that great stuff. You know, the thing that I fear the thing I fear the most, of course, is the lack of good coffee, good bagels, good pizza. I don't know.
Yeah, but see, like right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got Brooklyn's Pizzeria. They're straight from Brooklyn, right? So it's okay. New York pizza.
All right.
Then in Huntersville, there's New York Bagel. The guy's from Queens.
All right.
And you can buy Cafe Bustelo's, so we got all three bases covered.
Oh, Bustelo.
But that doesn't mean, but now I'm going to tell you right now, we got enough damn New Yorkers coming down here. They don't need to ruin it like they did Florida, okay?
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you something. I got turned on to Bustelo years ago. And mm-hmm. I had to go to a bodega in Freeport to buy it because nobody in my town, they didn't sell it. So
yeah.
Now please describe what Bustelo is.
Cafe Bustelo is, it's like an espresso blend coffee. It's a very fine blend coffee.
Right.
And you can only find it in discerning. Well, now the freaking, what is it? The King Cullen by me sells it. So They've gentrified.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, I grew up on it over there.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe it's all we drank in the house.
Sure.
Wow.
I mean, I never drank anything else. And then when we found the house in North Carolina, we went into the supermarket here. It's Food Lion, and they're a chain. They're big enough. They own a couple other brands.
Right.
But me and my dad went in there and we asked the manager, like, hey, you know, can you get this coffee? And at the time, they didn't even have like a Latin food section. Like here they have an aisle now dedicated to the Spanish food.
Yeah.
As for in New York, the whole damn store is a Spanish food.
Totally.
Store,
right around the corner from me. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Well, the manager was like, you know, he goes in the back and he comes and goes, like, I can get it, but I just can't get you a couple cans.
You got to buy a case.
My dad goes, the hell with that. We want two cases.
Yeah. That's it. And you know what? Throw in some El Pico while you're at it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
El Pico was the other brand that was all right.
And we would burn through that stuff like it's nothing. I'm drinking a cup now.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. Do you heat up the cream separate in a little pot on the stove?
Not anymore.
Okay.
Not anymore. We used to do the whole cheesecloth thing and everything.
Yeah.
And then my wife had a bone marrow transplant. We had to clean all that stuff out.
Okay.
You know, like we just couldn't do it anymore. You know what I mean? Because the doctor was like, you know, the house has basically got to be scrubbed.
Yeah.
So anything, you know, like we couldn't even, for years, we couldn't even use cast iron pots.
Wow.
But they don't even recommend using cast iron frying pans.
Yeah. Because they withhold the stuff.
Right.
Oh, like
right.
The germs
so,
and bacteria.
So,
okay.
Right.
But that's
so a lot of the stuff we had to get rid of, and we just never went back to it. You know what I mean?
That's something good to pass down to the kids, though, so they can see their lineage, see their heritage, just to be exposed to it, because, you know, that's kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool stuff.
And the funny thing was, this used to be a car show.
It used to be, yeah. hey, listen.
10 minutes ago was a car show.
I've given out my lasagna recipes. We've talked about all sorts of food stuff on this show.
On the air, no less. Yeah. Look, living in North Carolina, you're not a NASCAR guy, right? How is it dealing?
Nah, man, I don't do left turns.
So how is it living in the middle of NASCAR Central?
It's actually really cool. It really is because, one, there's parts here that they use all the time that, you know, of course, cross over.
Mm-hmm.
But you can pick stuff up cheap. Like, I haven't bought a center section for a 9-inch Ford for... All right, let me back up.
Mm-hmm.
They just recently went up in price. For years, for probably the last 10 years, I was getting 9-inch center sections, Detroit locker, back cut gears, ARP hardware, all safety wired, the billet yoke, the big bearing, everything, $500.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, because these guys use them for one race.
Sure.
Right. They'll use them one race and you know, then they just go away. Well, now, like, Roush has his own used parts store.
Yeah.
So you go in there and now I pay $800.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But come on, man, you ain't going to touch that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No. And no. It's already done.
So, you know, the locker's worth $1,000.
Sure.
You know what I mean? They run is Detroit lockers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's all good stuff. The only thing is, instead of being a 411, it might be like a 409. But okay. On the street, who cares?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? That's negligible on the street. But yeah, it's stuff like that, like 9-inch Ford housings. They're falling off trees around here. You know, it's nuts.
Gee, all we have in trees are sneakers around here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
old shoes. Old shoes and power lines.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so it's pretty
visual.
That aspect of it is really cool.
Yeah.
So I don't mind it at all. I kind of like it because when I first moved down here, I was still in the Navy,
mm-hmm.
and I drive down from Norfolk on the weekends, stay with the fam, and then head back Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And my neighbor up the street, Scott, the guy's a freaking genius. Mm-hmm. Our other neighbor, Paul Wise, Paul would do side work on other people's round track cars, but Paul was that guy. You know what I mean? Like he was that way upper level fabricator. / crew chief / whatever you needed him to be.
He was the hired gun.
And I remember, yeah, you know, he was a serious hired gun.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, I remember one time whenever I see Scott's garage lights on, I'd pull in because he's at the corner. You know, I got to make the turn there. And I go in there, and I might have been here a month. I go in there, and there's a NASCAR sitting in the garage. and Paul's work. That's how I met Paul. He's working on it. And I want to say it was Harry Gant's Daytona car.
Okay.
And Paul, you know, Paul just, he was one of those guys, he'd be like, see this thing right here? This little thing right here, if it was this way, you'd be 5 miles an hour slower.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
You knew the
that's how he was, you know? Right. The guy was just phenomenal. Wow. And I know you guys remember this because you're old enough. Do you remember when Pontiac's tagline was, we build excitement?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Remember they had the third gen Camaros, the Camaros and Firebirds were out,
mm-hmm.
and they had that pro stock Camaro launch from the launch and go down the track at the end of the commercial on one of them. Remember that?
Okay, sounds familiar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the car would launch, take off down the track, and then they go, we build excitement. Right. Paul Wise built that car in a 2-car garage, campaigned it on the IHRA trail.
Oh, wow!
And it was a championship car.
How cool! Wow, that's great.
You know, we go. I mean, the dude was out of control.
You know, we go as far back. I think we're all about the same age. We go far back with Pontiac as the wide track guys.
Yeah. Yep. I remember the wide track cars. Yeah.
That I think that's Ray, and I think that's your era, my era.
Certainly is.
Definitely is. Yeah.
I took parts off a lot of those cars.
which is funny because that's primitive cab forward design.
Yeah, pretty much. It is. You're right. It is. You look at when the door opens, you look at the way that curved windshield with the way the door opening
right.
is, and it is kind of a cab forward. Yeah.
Sure.
Exactly.
Is.
Everything new is old. Everything old is new again. Yeah.
But you know, nothing. You know, that's you know, no one thinks of that. You know, no one wants to admit it.
But the funny thing is that you do. You think of this. You actually take it and look at it that way.
Thank God we haven't revisited X chassis though.
Oh God, no.
That's we could live in the '50s.
Yeah, we don't need to go down that road. We don't need to go down that road.
Hey, Lou, I saw a little piece on you that said you were named one of the 5 best car builders and master fabricators in the country.
That's how
you know, I don't know where that comes from.
I was hoping you'd know.
I don't. I really don't know. I don't know that. I don't know who wrote that. It just surfaced. Okay. I didn't write it.
That's a hell of an honor, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's like one day somebody told me I was an expert.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, you know, when of course we watched Muscle Car TV with you and Jared. Now, Car Fix is one of my favorite shows on Velocity. And when I first caught you on TV, I said, wow, this there's something about this. You know, you're doing something else. You're looking down and you hear something and you look up. Yeah. And now I'm seeing this dude on TV, like with this salt and pepper goatee. And I'm like, yeah, there's something different about him. What is it? Like, oh, it's his voice. That's what it is. He's one of us. So I've been following you and said, I got to get this guy in the show. How does that play in the outside markets? Because Chris and I talk about that all the time. We're always looking to grow our show. And one of the thoughts is, well, how's it going to play in Tennessee? How's it going to play in Wisconsin? You know, New York.
Well, I think the reason why Muscle Car was so successful, and even now Carfix, because the network doesn't advertise Carfix. Then I mean, occasionally you might get a commercial at, you know, Dark 30, but you're not going to get it in the middle of the day. I think the reason why it just continues to grow more than anything else is because we teach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you watch the show, we don't do a whole lot. Like, you know, we're not ripping stuff all the way down and putting stuff all the way back in and running. We're gonna sit there and go, okay, we're gonna put this floor pan in this 55 Nomad like we did.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna put this floor pan in and we're gonna do it where the floor pan is all in one piece. We're not gonna quarter it. We're gonna put it in one piece.
Lou, you wanna do another one? Because I got one of them in my driveway. It needs a floor.
A Nomad?
Yes, sir.
See, you don't need that car. You need to just bring it down to me.
It's going to be it's the next build in the project. It's going to be a gasser.
No, don't make it a gasser.
If you saw it, you'd say, you know what? It's cool. You can make it a gasser.
Lou, I call it an ashtray. It's an ashtray to me. Because every...
No. Don't make it a gasser.
Ray, send Lou a picture of the car.
I'll send Lou a picture. What would your suggestion be, Lou? Resto mod?
My suggestion would be build a really nice driver.
Well, I have one of them now. I just finished a project I worked on for four years. that's a really nice driver. So I'm thinking, yeah, go a little out. I'm getting older, Lou. I got to get this stuff under my belt before it's time for the...
So you're getting older, so you're going to need a stepladder to get in the car?
Well, I'm thinking, like, before I need, like, you know, white shoes and a white belt, Sansa belt slacks, I better do some cool stuff.
Look, don't worry about the Sansa belt slacks, okay? Trust me, you're fine. You're good. Don't worry about the Sansa belt slacks and the barbecue sneakers.
Yeah.
Sneakers, that's what they are, okay? You hang out at the barbecue and talk to the other old guys. You're not there yet. Don't worry about it. But see, here's the thing. If you build the car at least 4 inches off the ground, you won't need a ladder to get in it. All you have to do is turn and fall in.
Well, that's what I got now. My car is sitting about 5.5 inches off the ground.
But what's the problem?
No, that one's got
that way.
That one's got no problem. Yeah, I just thought it would be some cool
attitude. Build the Nomad that way. Mm. Besides, gassers are not fun to drive.
Typically, no. But no,
they're really not.
They look
so
great.
Why go down that road?
That's the thing up here now. Gases are the big trend up here right now. We have a couple of friends who are into them, and
so you're sheep.
No. No, well, that's
part of the flock.
I can see where you would say that.
Whoa.
But I got to disagree because
it's pretty simple. You're the one who's saying it. You just don't have the cojones to admit it.
Well, no.
I mean, I don't know what else to tell you.
The point I'm looking to make is, and Chris just brought this up about a week ago. I can go back a number of years where I said that was my plan, and then I amended my plan. So I'm only going back to what I originally thought. Now, knowing guys who have the car, so now I have a knowledge base to tap off of. But
what, you didn't have enough knowledge to build it back then when you had the idea? Straight axle. How hard is that?
Yeah, well, there's
straight axle, cross steering, Vega box. Hello?
Yeah. But how many guys do you see that run shackles on the front and the rear of those springs, which is actually the wrong thing to do, which is a common misconception? So now, a little like you said before, I'm getting educated in the process of the build. You know,
run some leaf springs.
Yeah.
All right. Let me help you out here.
Okay.
Get a factory GM axle, like from a 56 truck, okay?
Got that.
Get that. Convert it to disc brakes. Right. Run some leaf springs. Run and put your front leaf spring mount out a couple inches past where the bumper would be, like 2 inches.
Okay.
That way they're out in space. It looks cool. That's just cool factor.
That is
okay?
cool, yeah.
Lou, I'm loving it. I'm not saying a word because I agree with you.
You got to get your moon tank.
Yeah.
Now, what year Tri-5 is it?
55.
Okay, so instead of cutting the grill like everybody else does.
No, I don't like cutting
the grill. Instead of cutting the grill like everybody else does, because that's like the gateway out, because they don't have enough imagination.
Yeah.
What you do is you move the tank out and down.
Mm-hmm.
So the radius, the top of the tank, the top radius actually comes underneath the grill a little bit.
Right under that valence panel, yeah.
Right underneath the valence.
Yeah.
And then the grill is mounted. And then I know this is not period correct, but you make yourself some nice billet bottle holders, tank holders, I mean.
Okay.
And then you get those powder coated black. So it really contrasts against the moon tank.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, that's a cool look.
Yeah.
Sure.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it actually, all you'll see is the strap around the tank.
Right.
So it'll kind of blend into the back because you're in space.
Right.
And you'll see the bottom of the engine pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Paint the oil pan black so it blends in. So all of that will just blend in. And all you'll basically see, your focus will go to the moon tank.
That happens to be my engine color of choice, which I've taken a lot of grief over the years, is black. So
now,
no stretch there.
If you really want to do something crazy, if you really want to go out on a limb,
mm-hmm.
and I have it because I actually contemplated building a gasser just to use this.
Lou, can
no
we,
other reason.
Before you throw it out, let's take a quick break real fast.
All right.
We got to take a break, and then we'll come back and give us the big punch, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right, hang on.
Lou Santiago from Garage Insider, Ultimate Car Build, Muscle Car, Car Fix, a whole bunch of wealth of information, and a man that's telling Ray what to do with the ashtray. I am loving this.
Well, listen, Joe D is listening too, and he says gases would scare the farm animals down there, and we don't have to run shine up here.
cool, Joe. We'll be right back with more of Lou Santiago right here on Motor Mouth Radio. So please keep it where you got it.
Let the Motor Mouths help you with all of your car questions at 516-572-7440.
WHPC Garden City, New York, the voice of Nassau Community College.
Join WHPC's Daily News Wrap-Up, weekdays at 4:30 p.m., bringing you a complete report of the day's news, home and abroad, as well as sports, weather, and many other informative features.
We're Long Island's FM alternative.
Your car not running right? Let the motor mounts help you out at 516-572-7440.
Now hold on to those phones because we have on the line Lou Santiago, who is pretty much figuring out what Ray can do with that 55 Nomad. And I, for one, am just sitting back and relaxing here and just watching the fireworks. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Go get him, Lou.
So where do we leave off on that?
Yeah, okay, we left off on the only reason why I would build a gasser.
Okay.
Now, you remember back in the day the old stainless steel fire extinguishers that they had in, like, Uniondale High School and Hempstead High?
I have one in my den.
And you pumped them up and you squirted it. Okay, you remember them?
Yes, I do, yes. The water ones.
Well, before they were stainless, they were brass.
That's correct.
Right.
And I've got one from, like, the 30s, brass fire extinguisher. And the nameplate from the factory was cast separately, and it's all ornate with all kinds of scroll work.
Wow.
And then it's riveted on to the tank.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have one of those, and that's the only reason why I would build a gasser, so I could use that tank instead of using a moon tank.
Okay, that's a great idea.
the only reason.
No, that is.
You could display the fire.
Chris, there's a lot of times car builds and bike builds. And housework, too, starts with one piece, one obscure piece, and everything gets built off of that.
You guys are crazy. Lou, I tell you the truth. I am more like you than Ray is, because I like those big, low and slow Electras, Lincolns. Give me a big Caddy DeVille. Give me a big, fat station wagon. I'm that guy.
Yeah.
And I always felt that going fast was, well, anybody can go fast. I said, look cool doing 20 miles an hour. That, to me, is cool.
Yeah, when are you going to attain that goal? Because that hasn't happened yet either.
The only reason why...
Joe wants you to tell him about the TR6. That should be a lot of fun.
I was just going
to
say, the only reason why I have a TR6 in my garage is because I can close the door behind it. Because if I had a garage that was big enough, there'd be a 60 Lincoln Continental convertible sitting in there.
Yeah, it's
cool. There you go.
So when I see gassers, and I'm just like, go ahead, Ray, knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. That's the way I look. I want to get in my Electra, just hit the key, boom, just pull away. That's what I want. That's exactly
now,
what I want.
Now, I can actually lay my hands on a 63 Impala wagon.
Nice.
And here's what I was thinking about doing. If I get that car, what I was thinking about doing is making it a two-door wagon.
Oh, yeah.
See, here's the thing you got to remember. A lot of guys just weld up the back door.
Right.
But then the car doesn't look proportionate. No. All of those frames, all the X frames are 109.
Okay.
I think it is 109-inch wheelbase. Right. Doesn't matter if it's a two-door, four-door wagon. It doesn't matter. So what you do is you get a set of Biscayne or Bel Air doors.
You want to hang a set of coupe doors on.
And then that will make it proportionate.
Yeah. Huh? You want to hang a set of coupe doors on.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You move the B-pillar back and it makes it proportionate. Right. And then you have enough room to get in the back seat.
Right, right.
How would you possibly do that?
Then all you need is a piece of glass. So you get some side glass, get some tempered side glass, and you're good.
That's flat glass. Yeah,
that's flat,
and that's custom
because it's flat.
That is custom.
Yeah,
I want to. I want to just redirect a little bit. I want to play a clip that I grabbed because I kind of love it. Let's see. Hopefully the audio will come out, and maybe we'll speak about that. Come on, play.
Ray's third day with his new technology.
All right, well, let's talk, and then I'll see if I can find it. So much on that.
So what else do you own, Lou? What else do you have that in your stable of vehicles?
I got a bunch of stuff that's not done because, you know, I'm building everyone else's junk.
Yeah, you're the shoemaker. You have holes in your shoes.
I got a bunch of really cool stuff, though.
Mm-hmm.
In the yard, I have two International pickups, 64, 67.
Wow.
68 Chevy van. It's a panel. I had a Pro Street 68 Chevy van that I did that was a window van.
Oh, cool.
And I actually just gave it to my tow truck guy.
Gave it to him?
Yeah, because he takes care of me. So, well, here's the bad part. It's been done like 15 years. And because I never got a chance to finish it, all it needs is to have the brakes plumbed, front disc brakes put on it, and I think that was it. Oh. It ran. It's got no miles on it. And
really?
It was rebuilt. Yeah. I mean, I've had to do that a couple of times because I don't have time to finish my stuff. I have a 64 Impala SS factory AC car, 63 Impala, a 64 Bel Air,
wow,
a 66 Caprice wagon.
Oh man,
a 66 two ton Chevy truck, which is the C60.
Oh, big, yeah,
a two ton truck. I want to make that a car hauler. I got a 64 Volvo. Remember the Volvo? It was really round and it was a fastback. It looks, you know,
yes,
the guys have made them up to look like Mercs. Well, I've got the coupe of that.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
I was going to say, the other thing you have that we obviously don't is space.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sitting on 6.5 acres.
Oh, beautiful.
Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And half of it's filled with cars.
I got a 36x40 shop sitting behind the house.
Oh, yeah. So how
did... And I'm actually expanding it.
Wow. So how did you go from... How did you go from being in the Navy to hooking up with television? How did you end up making that transition?
Well, it was a fluke. It was a total fluke. I never had any. I never tried to get into TV. It never factored into the equation. I found the house. It was an accident.
Right.
So we turned up buying the house. Me and my wife had decided, you know, let's get a house because I got to the point in the Navy where I had already been past 10 years. I got out, went back in, and now it was past 10 years, and we figured, well, I might as well just stay.
Right.
And then we realized, well, we got to buy a house because all these guys, I'd see all these guys getting out, and then they'd move back home or whatever, and they had no credit, so they couldn't buy a house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because your income changes, all these big changes happen. So we decided, well, let's look for a house, and we found this house. It was just a total fluke. My sister-in-law actually lived like 10 minutes from where we live now, and I found this house, and we looked at it, and I was like, let's try and buy it. Next thing you know, we got a house.
Wow. Nice.
My sister-in-law moves, so we're down here not knowing anybody. So, yeah. So my wife got really sick. That was when Clinton was putting everybody out, so I retired early.
Right.
I left 4 years early. I still get a retirement check, but I lost 10% by leaving early.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I'm in my shop working. Now, on Sunday mornings on Spike TV, they would have the Three Stooges in the morning,
yeah,
the Power Block, and then the Kung Fu movies from the 70s.
Yep.
We all love Kung Fu movies.
Of course.
And the Three Stooges.
And the Stooges. So I would listen to my TV. I would listen to my TV, and I really never cared about the Power Block. It just never did anything for me. So I was working one day, and on Extreme 4x4, they had a four-link calculator with a free download. And I had just bought a computer. Never had one, so I just bought one. So, you know, and I went about my business. About 3-4 months later, they had a thing, if you think you got what it takes to be a host.
Mm-hmm.
Like another 3-4 months go by, I'm looking for the four-link calculator. I stumble across this application, and it says across the top that they're done. They're not taking any more applications. Well, here I am, you know, playing on my new computer, and I tried to fill out the application. Well, it filled out, and then when I went to clear it, I didn't know how to delete anything. I hit enter thinking it would make it go away. Well, it sent it off. It made it go away, but it sent it off.
Oh, very good.
Wow.
So a couple weeks later, I get this email. Don't read it, of course. Like a month later, I look at this email, and they want a headshot, a resume, and a 5-minute video. So, you know, by now Afghanistan had kicked off, and my brother, who's also retired from the Navy, he went to my old command when I retired. When I retired, he got my job.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
cool.
He's down here. He's visiting from Norfolk. And we're in my shop, and I tell him, hey, man, I got to shoot this video. Shoot some video for me. So we're standing there talking about, you know, all the SEALs that we know because, you know, they're all going to Afghanistan and all this stuff. So we're just talking about the guys that we know, because I know all of them too. And he goes, you know, I'm recording this. I'm like, dude, I got to get this done. You know, we start arguing. So I had my shield on. I laid a bead, picked up the, it was a ball joint ring. I picked up the ball joint ring in the plate with my glove on, and my glove is smoking. You go, I weld, screw it, and threw it on the table.
Yeah. there's that attitude.
Yep.
So I sent that in. A Polaroid instead of an 8x10 on the bottom of the Polaroid. Remember the white strip on the bottom of the Polaroid?
Yeah, you had to shake it to get it to develop.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I send on the white strip on the Polaroid, I write, they wouldn't let me have the one from the post office.
Yeah.
So that's I drive around with the thing in my car for like 2-3 weeks, and then I finally mail it. Mm. So it's way late. I'm like 6-8 months late.
Wow.
You know, and the next thing I know, they're flying me out to Tennessee to stand in front of the camera, and the network loves me, and everyone loves me. Next thing I know, I'm standing in front of a camera building cars on muscle car.
That's cool. Amazing. You know what differentiates you from the rest of them, Lou, is the fact that I remember when I used to watch the like Hot Rod TV, there was always like the skinny guy and the fat guy, and they would always banter back and forth, but you can always tell the banter was like completely written. Like one of them would say to the other, oh, isn't that right, muffler breath? And you're like, come on, can it get any cornier? And it's like when I listen to you deliver, when you give the information, you're like, you're there. You're passionate. You believe what you're saying. And it's just that New Yorker, I must be the New Yorker thing. It just comes through.
Well, you got to realize something.
A lot of car guys on TV are TV guys playing car guys.
Yeah.
Me and Jared are car guys playing TV guys.
Yeah.
That's a
perfect
lead-in.
You know
what I mean? Like, we don't use a script.
Right. That's
me and Jared have never used a script.
That is cool.
You guys are...
I mean, like, they literally, like, we'll be working, and the director will come out, and he'll say, okay, what are you doing? What are we going to do this, and this? And I'll be like, okay, well, what are you going to say? And we just tell him.
Yeah. Tell him, I haven't said it yet.
Yeah, and he'll just go, okay. And he'll say, rolling.
That's what I love about it. I was just watching the, my favorite was the 71 Camaro, the Stabil 360 build. And you definitely
bring. Camaro?
Yeah. I mean, Jared is like.
Say it right. It's bitchin' Camaro.
The bitchin'
Camaro.
Whenever
you refer to Camaro, it's bitchin' Camaro.
Okay, got it. Duly noted. But Jared, you can tell he's a little more laid back, and you definitely bring it out of him. You bring him up, which is very cool. It's you can see the dynamic at work. And I found that little audio clip. Let's see if it'll play here.
Okay.
Here we go again.
Right, yeah, here we go again.
You know, it just played three times when I was trying to listen to it, of course.
Mind you, Lou, Ray is a pro builder himself. I mean, there's a guy who's classically trained automotively, still can't run his phone.
Well, that's different. Here we go.
You know what that means.
Yeah.
You get the...
of course, when texts come in the middle of the audio clip, it doesn't really work too well. So, this is live radio.
Failure!
This is live radio. I will try that again.
Okay, take two.
You know what that means.
Yeah.
You get this car, you win this car, you beat on this car, you hurt this car.
You hurt this car.
We'll come find you.
That's right.
And don't come crying up to fix it.
That was for the giveaway for the Stabil Camaro. I love the delivery.
But that's the truth. And you know what? That's what shows. Ray and I have done this show, Lou. I swear to God, I'm playing the music. I look at Ray. I don't know what the heck I'm going to say to him. I look at him, and he looks at me and says, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, I don't freaking know. We're doing an hour-long car show. I don't know what the heck we're going to talk about.
An hour?
Yeah, right. And I'm playing the music. We don't have a thing to say to each other. And you know what? We fill the hour. We always do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We always do.
And you got enough left to do another hour.
Okay.
Absolutely. Just kept going. Yeah.
You know, that was the thing. We were asked a couple of years ago to be part of a TV show that was on when it was the Speed Network. And we filmed it up in the Bronx at BS&F Auto Parts. And, you know, we played radio guys doing a radio show on the street. They set up a tent and it was Left Field Productions. Those guys were so cool that, you know, the directors would come over and say, all right, this guy's, I just need you to talk about this guy's car and just fill in, just ad lib. Cause he learned, like, you can't give us lines. We don't remember them. You know, we're not that smart.
Right.
And it was great. It just, everything just flowed. It was, when you can work in your element, it really is.
So when you watch someone else that can do that as well and see you, see you do it. It's just, it's such a breath of fresh air. It's like, you know, when we grow up, we want to be you.
Well, see, there's half the problem. You want to grow up.
Yeah.
So you will never achieve it if you want to grow up.
Yeah,
that's,
true.
Because mentally, I'm like 10.
Good point. Yeah, well, you know, listen to some of our shows, and I think you may make the same determination. But, you know, we're actually, our clock is ticking. I want to talk about, of course, CarFix, and I want to talk about GarageInsiderTV.com.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
Well, either one. You want to,
shall we take a break real fast?
Start talking.
All right, let's take a break real fast. When we come back,
Chris is shutting me down again. Yeah,
we got to take a break. So, all right, let's play some music. We're on the phone with Lou Santiago, Garage Insider, Car Fix, Ultimate Car Build, Muscle Car, a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to be talking about it right here on Motormouth Radio and the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. We got car guys that don't own an article of clothing that's not oil stained. That's right. You check your oil with your tuxedo on. You're part of the Motormouth Radio on the Group of the Hour. So keep it where you got it. Got a lot more coming your way.
Let the Motormouths help you with all your car questions at 516-572-7440.
For nearly 25 years, attorney Kenneth Landau in Mineola and his expert guests have been educating our listeners about their legal rights. After an accident, when buying and selling real estate, concerning wills and estates, the criminal justice system, employment, business law, and much, much more. You too can learn about the law and your legal rights on Law You Should Know. Every Monday at 4 p.m., Tuesday at 1 p.m., or Sunday at 7 a.m., right here on 90.3 FM WHPC, the radio voice of Nassau Community College. Streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Let the Motormouths help you with all your car questions at 516-572-7440.
Hold on to that phone. We're on with Lou Santiago right here on Motormouth Radio. Rig Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer. And when we left...
I want to talk about how I just became a cop, or if there's any cop lift, but a penny member of GarageInsiderTV.com, which is a website that Lou runs with a cool message board and forum that's, I'm hoping for good things from this.
Very cool.
Tell us what the impetus is, Lou. I mean, what's the deal? The end
goal for GarageInsiderTV.com is I want to do video, and I want to do videos that are really, really heavy in tech, like, you know, narrowing a rear end step by step.
Nice.
This is how you do it, why you do it, you know, that kind of stuff from start to finish. And a guy can go in his shop, you know, download it on his phone or whatever, and narrow a rear end. Well, the end goal is to use the forum to help drive video production. Just pulling stuff out of the air. Say I got a guy who wants to build a quadrajet, right?
Right.
And I haven't built a quadrajet in 20 years, but Ray knows how to build a quadrajet. Well, I get Ray over here, we build a quadrajet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we video it, and then this guy can go in his shop, tear his quadrajet off his car, and rebuild it.
Right, right.
That's the end goal, because the thing is, you know, the trades are dead. You know what I mean? You know, Mike Rowe talks about it all the time. There's no one teaching this stuff.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You
true.
Know, everybody wants to just, oh, well, I'll just go buy it. Well, you know what? Right. What happens when you don't have the money to buy it? What happens if you just can't afford to buy it? You got to fix it.
Sure.
I was going to say, yeah, even if you buy it, sometimes you have to fix it. And if you haven't been inside
exactly.
of it. Yes.
And you mean there's going to be no yelling at each other? There's going to be no drama? There's going to be no...
No drama. because I'm not interested in that. And
I don't blame
you. The people that watch the show aren't interested in
You're
that.
Right. And we don't blame you.
I mean, you know, I get guys that are old enough to be my father and my grandfather at shows, and they'll come up to me. They don't want an autograph. They'll tell me flat out, I like watching your show because I feel I learned something.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
and
great.
And see, to me, that's the biggest compliment.
You're right.
Absolutely. You know, Lou, you and I were talking on the phone about education and educating kids, and I told you we're hooked up with the Autozeum over here, which is a teaching museum that partnered with BOCES. There's that the magic word of education that's kind of gone. And you got to see the stuff that they're doing. These kids are learning how to build movie cars and props and vacuum forming stuff, as well as machine skills. And that's the stuff that Chris and I jump into full bore.
We love it. We love it.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, man, people don't understand. That stuff's dying. I remember when I was in high school, I went to my guidance counselor and said, hey, you know, I'd like to do at least 2 years of college. And he told me, he said, well, you know what? You wouldn't make it in college. You just go turn wrenches. Just go be a mechanic. That's what you, yeah. And you know what? I mean, I went and got a 2-year degree after I retired.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm doing cars, but I think I did pretty well.
Yes.
In the long run.
Yep.
So I'm pretty content. And I'm pretty happy with what I got, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're very impressed with what you have and what you're doing. And the fact that we agree with it, the fact that we support it and we believe in it. Is just monumental. I think that's wonderful because it's what you're doing. I always feel, Lou, that there's two types of people now in this world. There's those people that you can learn from, you can walk away with something more and different, and then there's those people that drain you dry. And it's so funny.
Right.
You always try and embrace and be drawn to those people that can build you up, those people that you can learn from. And what you're doing now is just fantastic. We love it.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather fix it. You know what I mean? Or at least attempt to fix it than to buy it.
Oh, yeah.
That's my thing. You know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to just sit there and buy it because you can use that money for something else that's better spent.
Beer and pizza.
Exactly.
Actually, that's the blurb I put on GarageInsiderTV.com. I put a little, you know, get to know you, a little blurb about who I am. And that's what I said, something to the effect of, I'd rather, and I've said this to people all the time when they look at the car that I'm driving now. I said, yeah, I'd rather use a good old part that I could fix or tweak and keep going than put something new on there. And there are some exceptions.
Yeah.
You know, suspension is all new, other things are new, but it's just a mindset is what it is.
Even still, there's not a lot of people rebuilding front ends.
No.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, nowadays they sell the whole control arm. What happened to buying the ball joint and replacing the ball joint?
Right.
Very true.
You know what I mean? What happened to replacing the upper control arm bushings? What happened to that? People don't do it, man.
That's true.
I don't understand where this shift happened where it became a throwaway society where you just buy everything.
Oh,
I don't understand
yeah.
that.
Well, since we stopped buying Japanese goods and ended up going to Korea and China and all of that, let's not go there, please, because I'm on a high here. I don't want to be brought down.
You know, it's funny. We're coming up to the top of the hour, and we wish we did have another hour to
yes.
talk with you. This has just been fantastic.
Well, hey, all you got to do is call me back.
I will do that. I got you in my phone. I got you in rotation, and we would love to have you back again, Lou. We'll certainly follow up on this.
How can someone get a hold of you with any questions or any comments if you so choose to?
They can go to GarageInsiderTV.com or GarageInsider@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's my email address. Mm-hmm. And the forum is actually free to join. It only has 100 members because I'm not advertising it because I'm trying to get the video thing going.
Right.
You know what I mean? If people join and post stuff on there, that's great, and I don't have a problem with it. But if you notice, it's there's not a lot of activity.
Right.
Because that was an easy thing to put together so I can start, you know, so I can keep moving.
All right. So,
but, you know, I'm down to the last piece. Once I expand my shop, which I'm going to start doing after SEMA, I'm hopefully going to start doing the video stuff.
Right. We're going to join, that's for sure. Lou,
join. I mean, post pictures. I mean, you know, have a blast.
Yeah, I put a couple up. Yes, I put three up yesterday. In fact,
Did you see the convertible Camaro that I was building on there?
I didn't. I didn't go through the whole site. I was kind of, you know, doing a hit and miss because I was at work. But I will get back and do some, you know, spend some time with it. Promise.
Keep this in mind: the top of the door on that convertible Camaro, the top of the door is 33 inches off the ground.
Oh, nice!
Oh man,
that's motorcycle seat height.
Holy smokes.
Lou, we'll be in touch, and we thank you for coming on, man.
Yes.
All right, guys.
All right.
Take it easy,
man. Talk to you soon.
We'll talk soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Later.
That was Lou Santiago.
33 inches.
Oh, my gosh. From Car Insider, Car Fix, from Ultimate Car Build and Muscle Car. You can check it out at MotorMouthRadio.com if you missed any of that fantastic interview. For Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer. This is Motormouth Radio. Always remember, don't follow us home. See ya.